That's quite an introduction. Actually, I always, I love just the life of young ones, so it's a delight. We'll see who wins the competition here, and but anyway, let's ask God to help us and guide us. Father, we do thank you that you're a wonderful, wonderful Father to us. You love us, and you're working in our hearts so that we will love one another. And we just pray that this will be something that continues and increases, and you'll guard us so that we might walk in it all the days of our life, but also that we might grow in it as the further we walk. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Dar was going to share a little poem with us. Is that all right, Dar? Do you mind? Okay, you share the poem. Is this mic on? Okay, so Dar, you share your little poem. This is a very profound poem, so anyway.
So profound, it's hardly worth the walk up here. To dwell with all the saints above, oh, won't that be glory? But living with them here below, well, that's a different story. End of poem.
Thank you, Dar. Thank you. Now, isn't that the truth, right? Somebody, I imagine, had several experiences before they got the poem out, before they wrote it down. Anyway, I think as we talk about this love, that love is to abound, and we are to be fervent in our love, if we're honest with ourselves, with some people, and we're not going to share any names, but you might think of one person or several people that over the years have been very difficult to love. And we all have people like that in our paths. And maybe sometimes we've been that person in somebody else's path, right? But we say, that's impossible. That's impossible to love that person. And that's where we continue with our passage. And I want to go back to the passage we've been at this morning and just give a few thoughts on the conclusion of Ephesians 3. And after we hear these words, and let me just read a part of it just again to remind ourselves. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And then we come to this very reassuring statement in verse 20, the power for vibrant love. Now to him, verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Remember in verse 16 it said, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. This life, this supernatural life, as we said this morning, really requires supernatural power. It is not, I just got to try harder or do better. Although, you know, God wants to nudge us that we will walk in his ways. He challenges us to obedience. But as we've said on various occasions, it's trust and obey. We trust him in his sufficiency. Walk by faith, as we've already said this morning, we walk in his sufficiency. And in his power, live out his principles. Verse 20, now to him. It's not now to us, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He is able to do far more abundantly, super abundantly, we might say. I was trying to remember, you know, Mary Poppins, how does it go? Very good. He should be doing this message. Okay. Anyway, so it's a word like that. And these phrases are put together, and they build. They build on one another. It's like, and one commentator put it this way in a little caption, in somewhat of an outline form. And here's the way it reads. He is able to do all that we ask or even think. Now, if we said that, that'd be great. But he's more than that. He is able to do above all that we ask or think. But it's even more than that. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's still not it. It goes beyond this. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, again, how do you wrap your head around that? It's really beyond. But he is able to do the impossible in our lives. And this is one of those things that God wants to do, supernatural work, so that when the world looks at us as Christians, you know the song, they will know you are Christians by your love. The world looks at Christians in general, and they just love to see our faults. They just love to point out our inconsistencies, and we have them. But what God wants to do is to allow his work in us, through us, so when the world looks at us, they have to take a second look and realize, why do those people love one another the way they do? Why do they love? It says in Thessalonians, we're to love all men as well as each other. Obviously, our first priority is to love one another. Obviously, the Lord on top of all of that. But then to love all men. But God wants to be a demonstration of his love in our lives in this world. And he's the only one that can pull that off. How many times have we know somebody said something or did something and it was really, really hurtful? Really hurtful. Well, those are opportunities, even though they're painful. And we're not minimizing that. They're painful. But yet God says, I want to show you I can do something impossible through this pain. And that is that you can love people. Now, the way we deal with different people, that doesn't mean we always, you know, set ourselves up for another hit. That we're not talking about that. But we try to do what's best for that person. Sometimes it may not just be, you know, kicking back or, you know, fussing back or, you know, being nasty. Sometimes it just may be an encouraging word, maybe a smile, maybe a wave. It may be helping them do something in their lawn that they needed done. But God wants to show supernatural love through our lives. According, this is in that passage, according, verse 20, according to the power that works within us. As we pray, and this is obviously about prayer, and depend upon him, on his dynamic living power, God works. God works. And of course, it all goes back. God works by his Spirit. His Spirit is the agent that is resident within us. And he takes our provision in Christ, that we're in him sovereignly, positionally, we're in him. And the Spirit of God makes and wants to make this practical, to show itself up. It's not just theory. It's to be practical in the way we live out. And so God, even this week, you think, you know, we don't know exactly how this week's going to unravel, but there's probably going to be opportunities to love somebody that's not very easy to love. It's just the way life is. There's a lot of situations. I find, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but it just seems like some people are just, it's just kind of a dog-eat-dog world, or, you know, it's just a selfishness. A lot of people who are working with other people who are not Christians, and sometimes it's just brutal, and the way they respond to you or treat you. And God says, you know what? I know you can't do this on your own. This is beyond you in yourself. But in Christ and by my power of my Spirit within you, I can do something unique in you that the world is going to have to stand back. They may not ever acknowledge it, but they're going to have to stand back and say, wow, God, there's something different about that person. They're not like everybody else, you know, cutting in line and you know, trying to drive over you if you're in the walkway. I mean, they're different. And so God wants to do something, and he's the only one that's got the power to do it. I remember in one of our mission conferences in the past, there was a family who tried to deliver people who were being either attacked, assaulted, and some of them killed by ISIS. And I remember him saying, the missionary saying, he just hated those terrorists. He just hated them. But what was interesting as he was sharing and as God was working his life, he said, as time has gone along, he's seen God do something in his life that he was almost surprised by. He has started to grow incrementally to love even the terrorists. Now that's an interesting, you know, you think, only God can do that. Now again, we don't handle a terrorist like we handle our neighbor, hopefully, but we can still pray for them. We can care about them. They're a lost soul. As soon as they die, they're in a lost eternity. But God wants to use us. He wants to transform us and show through us that he can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. You know how sometimes you're reading over a passage and you can say, well, we're asking. But he can do far more than what we can even think of in our mind. We can't even imagine what he could do. Isn't that amazing? God's just so big. He's so much bigger than we give him credit for. And God wants to show his love through his kids, through us. And now the purpose of this, and this is in verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. If this kind of love invades our life, who gets the credit? Well, God gets the credit. He gets the glory. Really, God's glory is his attributes on display. And we say, wow, God, I never knew God was so amazing. And you see different facets of God's character. And you think, oh, wow, we're in awe of him as we get to know him. But one of the things that he wants to make sure, part of his glory, is his love, his character of love. And as his love is demonstrated in us and through us, he gets the credit. And I know I've shared my story about Chuck. And when we went to Dallas, when we were living in Dallas, we had a little Bible study with Chuck and Betty. And Chuck, as he shared his story, and I don't know, he'd been, by that time, he was still a baby Christian, maybe 2 years a Christian by that time. But he would have been 45, 50 probably at that point. He's a bulky, you know, tough-looking guy, and he had been exactly that. He was, before he was saved, he was very angry. He was an alcoholic on top of that. So he told me a little bit about his barroom brawl stories, you know, and I'm sure he had broken a few noses of his opponents in the bar before he got saved. He was just tough as nails, and God saved this guy. He saved him. And it was amazing to me as we spent time together. And he had a dear, dear, sweet little wife, Betty. And she was a major contributor in him helping him grow. But it was just amazing how God had made this angry man into a gentle man. He became a loving man. And it's a wonderful display of God's work through a very hard person who became a tender man. See, God gets a credit for that. And Chuck would have been the first one. He's with the Lord now, but he would have been among the first ones to share that with you. God's work in our lives can bring glory to him. I think just read these words again. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church. Now see, that's right where we were talking this morning, in the church. When we love one another, the world looks on, or other believers look on, God gets the credit. But it needs to happen. His family is where this can be displayed. God's not going to display his love through an unbeliever. But God wants to display his love through us. As I was just thinking, always when I think of Liam and I think of working with these young people, you know, and say, what a wonderful thing to love them, and then hopefully they'll come to faith in Christ, these teens, and then that God will begin to work through them so they can really, I know they got tons of energy and all kinds of stuff, but it's a wonderful thing when you see some of them starting to care about other people. And then I just love, we lost our strong man here, but he had to take a vacation. But anyway, isn't it wonderful when you see how God works through parents and loves the children? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And you see that, and I see these little ones. What a wonderful privilege to be raised by Christian parents who love their children. And then it's just a wonderful thing. But as we as a family care about one another, you know, think of all the people in this last year and right now are struggling with health issues. Just big time struggles. It's a way for us to be sensitive, to be thoughtful, to be kind, to love each other. And, God wants to work. He wants to continue to work. Like we said, we haven't arrived. We know that. But God wants to work in our lives and accomplish His work for His glory by causing us to abound in our love for each other. I want to read the prayer again. And I'm going to just put the us in there. And I want us to read this, and then we'll be done in just a moment. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We just, amen, God. We ask this now and for all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Have a good afternoon.